I don't know if I need to get my eyes checked. I did have a good night's sleep last night, so I don't know. Must be old age. Just before I get started in the message this morning, talking about what I was just earlier about how it would be so good for us to be able to just come alongside people and whatever. This verse came to mind. I actually read it to Susan last night. It comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. It says, "So my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord. For you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless." And so many times, I think as believers, we think, well, I can't really do a whole lot for the Lord. It's like, what can I do? But the Word of God says that if you offer just one glass of water in my name, one glass of water, you are honoring me. You are pleasing me. And so whatever we do in our lives, it's like, we can't think of it as uselessness of serving the Lord. There are so many ways to serve the Lord. I just think of Heidi and how she worked with her sister all summer long for basically nothing. Wow, what a sacrifice. You gave and you gave and you gave some more. And I think we as a body of believers can do that same thing, is praying for one another, encouraging one another, coming alongside one another and say, what can I do? How can I help? Because nothing is in vain. It is not useless. It is something that we can do for the Lord. And it almost takes no effort whatsoever when it really comes down to it. It doesn't take a whole lot. Just to leave that with you. So this morning, we're heading into Psalm 23, verse 4 again. And it's been fun to listen, read, and study Psalm 23 again. And the title of this is, Thy Staff Comforts Me. And if you want to just open up your Bibles that are in front of you, just so that you can read it over as we go through the message here too and look at it. Psalm 23, we're going to be in verse 4, section number C, you could say. Thy staff comforts me. In a sense, the staff, more than any other item of his personal equipment, talking about the shepherd, identifies the shepherd as a shepherd. There is no other profession where somebody will carry a staff. It just does not exist. It is a very, very unique instrument used to care for sheep, and only sheep. It will not do for cattle, it won't do for horses, it won't do for pigs, and it certainly won't do anything for chickens. It is for sheep, and that is it. It is designed, shaped, and adopted especially to the needs of a shepherd. And it is only used for the shepherd's benefit. The staff here is essentially a symbol, which I thought very interesting, of the concern, the compassion that a shepherd has for his sheep. No other word can better describe its function on behalf of the flock than that it is for their comfort and comfort alone. The staff for the sheep. Last Sunday we talked about the rod and how it conveyed the concept of authority. It conveyed the concept of power. It conveyed the concept of discipline. It conveyed the concept of defense against danger. For those of you that weren't here, we talked about the rod that almost looks like a bat, a baseball bat, something like to that size, and how those shepherds could just wing that thing for great distances with accuracy, and to be able to discipline a sheep and steer it on its right path again, or to scare away possibly a wild animal or something. Very accurate with their rod. And these were the characteristics of the rod. But the staff speaks of something totally, totally different. And yet you see the two differences between the rod and the staff. And the staff is simply speaks of long-suffering, of kindness. What does the staff look like? Well, if you look on your bulletins, you will see on the front page, there's a hook on there. And often with this crook, or often most staffs, obviously most staffs, have a hook on it. And they are selected very specially by the shepherd themselves. And they will be very smooth, and they will be the right size for his hand as well. Because the staff is used for lifting sheep up, to pick them up. It is very selective, very smooth, very just right for the shepherd. And somehow, how this happens, the staff is very special to the sheep themselves. It brings comfort. But not only does the staff bring comfort to the sheep, you can always imagine when you think about a shepherd and his flock, and you see a shepherd out in the field, and sometimes you just see him holding on to this staff, kind of leaning against it. And I sometimes have thought, man, so many times we need something in our lives to lean on. If we've had jobs where we've been on our feet all day long, all of a sudden, boy, it just feels good to just lean against something. Put your elbow on a fence and just kind of, oh. And the same it is with a shepherd and a staff. It's something, it's a tool that he would use that would bring comfort to himself. As something to be able to lean on. Something that there would be a certain amount of comfort there. It becomes something very important to the shepherd and to the sheep. And just as the rod of God is emblematic to the word of God, so is the staff of God symbolic to the Spirit of God. And so as we referred to last week, the rod as being the word of God, we are referring to the staff here. It's symbolic to the Spirit of God. In Christ's dealings with us individuals, there is an essence of sweetness, the comfort and consolation, the gentle correction brought about us by His gracious Spirit. When we begin to think of the Spirit of God, what do we think of? We think of the gracious comfort in the Spirit. There are three areas of sheep management at which the staff plays a most significant role. Number one, the staff draws sheep together into an intimate relationship. And so many times as the shepherd would have his sheep close by, wanting to bring them in, he would grab them and he would just kind of slowly bring them in. Because that was always a time when the shepherd was to investigate his sheep. It was a time of intimacy that the shepherd would have to investigate how his sheep were doing. If they had any sores, if they had any diseases. And so he would bring the sheep in with his staff. The shepherd also would use the staff gently as they would be having young. And so many times with sheep, they would go astray just a little bit, the lambs. And you couldn't touch the lambs because a lot of times the ewes would reject the lambs if they had a different odor on them. And so it was necessary for the shepherds to grab their sheep. I have this stick that Meg let me use. It doesn't have a hook on it. But he would have this stick in his hand, this staff, and he would be able to grab a young lamb around with that hook, and he'd be able to lift it up gently and just put it right next to the mother again. And there wouldn't be an odor whatsoever. And it's interesting as you read of how shepherds, when there would be 500, 600, 700 sheep giving birth, the shepherd would be just going around in the field and just picking up these young, just one after the other. And I can just imagine how that would just touch, grab your eye, would mesmerize yourself just by looking at a shepherd just going, picking up sheep, one after the other, giving them back to the mother. Very, very interesting. It's amazing. And I sometimes think, our Christian life, and how many times the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, wants to draw us to Himself. He wants us to be coming to Him, to be comforted. And it just reminds me of this whole thing of being able to, the shepherd picking up that lamb and carrying him to his mother. The same thing is what the Lord wants to do with us. He wants to pick us up when we have fallen, when we have been led astray. In the Christian life, we find the gracious Holy Spirit, the Comforter, drawing folks together into a warm, personal fellowship with one another. When I begin to think of us as a congregation, as a church, and how God desires for us to be the same, as we grow together in fellowship, in oneness, as a body of believers, He loves to see us be able to fellowship together as a church, as a body. The staff is also used for guiding sheep. It's interesting, as the shepherd would guide a sheep along a trail, sometimes the sheep would be right in front of him. And so he would have to guide it. And with his staff, the sheep would be right here, and he would just lift up his staff and direct him, tap him on the side to keep him going straight. If he wanted to move over to the other side, his staff would come over to this side and just tap him over, and he would just keep the sheep in line as they would be going through some curvy areas or some dangerous areas where there would be cliffs on a side or something. And the sheep felt very, very, very comfortable with that, because he wasn't being reprimanded in any way, but just the fact that he was being touched, just touched, and say, yeah, shepherd's right behind me. He's right with me. We're going. It would be like Susan and I walking hand in hand, walking on the beach. That same type of relationship, hand in hand, just walking, in touch all the time. And there's a relationship that is built there when you have that touch. And that's what the sheep would feel. That's the thing that they would be going through them, as there would be that bonding there between the shepherd and the sheep. As I begin to think of the Word of God, and in our walk with God, we are explicitly told by Christ Himself that it is the Spirit of God that guides us. Just as this staff will guide a sheep, the Spirit of God guides us as individuals. And I want to read with you numerous verses this morning that just kind of, that do talk about this. In John 16:13, talking about the Holy Spirit and how He guides us, it says, I have many things to say to you, John 16:13, but you cannot bear them all. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will disclose to you what is to come. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2, it says, the Spirit of God will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. John 14, 17, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives in you and will be in you. In John 14, 26, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. John 16, 12, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. 1 Timothy 4, 1, the Spirit clearly says that in the later times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Hebrews 1:1, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. And 1 John 5:6, this is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water alone, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. And this same gracious Spirit takes the truth of God, the Word of God, and makes it plain to our hearts and minds and spiritual understanding. It is He, the Spirit of God, who gently, tenderly, persistently says to us, walk in this way. Walk in this way. And He's wanting to guide us. He wants to lead us along in our paths of life. And He's given us everything that we need to do that. It's like He has the staff. And He wants to guide us along the way. Howard, keep going. You're doing a good job. I'm here to help you. I'm shooting for you. This is the way to go. But what happens so many times in our lives? We don't listen. I don't feel like walking in the ways that the Good Shepherd wants to follow, show me. Don't we so many times go through that in our lives? I don't feel like it. I don't want to walk with God. And as we comply and cooperate with this gentle prompting in our lives, what falls on us when we comply, when we obey, when we listen to that voice of the Spirit in our lives? Does not a sense of safety come about us? Do we not all of a sudden just feel so satisfied that, wow, I feel good. This is nice. I remember so many times as I would be in Caracas doing ministry there, and I'd have to go into some extremely dangerous areas. And sometimes I hated to go into those areas. I didn't know if I'd ever come out alive. Sometimes I didn't know if my car would be there. A lot of times I didn't even take my car into some of these places, but I had to go. And I remember so many times I would just say, Lord, protect me. Look after me. Do whatever you need to do, because I'm scared. And I just don't feel all warm and fuzzy right now as I'm going into danger here. And it's so amazing how God, in His mercy, in His love, just gives you that sense of safety and just, you know what? Yeah, I'm getting that from the Lord. I can do this. I can get out there. Because of what God is in me, I can do this. There's safety in following the Spirit of God. There's security there. It is He too who comes quietly but emphatically to make life of Christ my personal shepherd trainer. And I was thinking about that even this morning. We have a trainer. You don't have to go to the gym and get a personal trainer over there. Well, you can if you want to work out. But you know what? People that work in gyms, so many of them have trainers. And they are there just all the time showing you exactly what to do. Do this. This is best for you. Don't do that exercise because you're going to hurt your back. Don't run more than 2 miles. Run 1 mile. And you have a trainer there that is always there on top of things, watching out for you so that you don't hurt yourself. And here we have it, folks, a personal shepherd trainer living in us today, right now, wanting to show us, guide us, protect us, do everything possible for us to make this life here on this earth more pleasant, that we could honor and glorify God in the life that He has given for us to live here. We have it made. We have this trainer. But are we using? That is the thing. Always comes down to that. Are we using that shepherd personal trainer in our lives to live this life through the good times, through the hard times, through the bad times, through all of our times? Do we have it? Are we using it? Christian life is not just one of subscribing to certain doctrines or believing certain facts, like so many churches preach nowadays, it seems. Here's the knowledge. This is what you need to know to be a Christian. And we can get so full of knowledge here in our heads, in our thinking, that we really don't feel anything from inside of us. God wants us to experience firsthand what it means to have fellowship with the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. That's what He wants us to do. He wants us to enjoy an incredible, credible relationship with Him. And how does that feel when it really comes down to it? I always think of Galatians 5:16, and you think of the fruits of the Spirit. You know, when we're going to be enjoying fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, when the Holy Spirit, our Comforter, is guiding us, when we're in control of that, that's when we're going to have that peace. That's when we're going to have that love. That's when we're going to enjoy kindness and long-suffering. And you go down the whole fruit of the Spirit. Wow. That's what I can enjoy. And all of a sudden, life with all its dilemmas are all of a sudden so far away. And it's like, you know what? That does not matter anymore. All those hurts that I've just had go through me, I can put them aside. Because that's not what I'm living for today, right now. Our Comforter wants to know the most minute details of our daily living. He wants to know that. And I know that so many times we think everything is so unimportant. I don't need to talk to the Lord about that. He knows that already. He knows my heart. But no, God wants us to talk to Him about every situation in our lives. It's like a husband-wife relationship. You know, sometimes Susan will just say, just talk to me. Anything. You know? It's a relationship. He wants us to be open. And the same it is with our Heavenly Father. It's a relationship that we have with Him. He wants us to ask for anything and everything. He wants us to talk to Him. I know quite often and throughout the day, I will talk to the Lord just audibly like this. And it's like, Lord, I don't know what to do with this situation. I just don't know what to do. What do you want me to do? What would you do in this situation? And I have that conversation. If somebody would look at me, they'd think I was nuts. You know, I was just talking to myself. But no. There's an open book relationship there, and it's like, you know, what is, you know, Lord, Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? That's where he wants us to be open. And the thing is, you know, so many times he will show us. When we have the mind of Christ, when we're open to what God wants for our lives, it's almost like he just puts thoughts back into my mind. Howard, what about this? Have you tried this? And you just go on. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And you come to another situation again, and you do the same thing over again. It's a relationship. It's when we don't do that, when we don't have a relationship with him, is when difficulties come. That's when hard times come. Because all of a sudden, we begin to focus on our circumstances around us, and the flesh takes over, and we fall. I've fallen, you've fallen, we know all about it. But it's giving things back to the Lord. It's like, Lord, here I am. You know my heart. You know my ways. I don't want to run into difficulty. I want to keep the Holy Spirit in my life, enjoying him, listening to him, and following him, and being led and being guided all day long. That's what I want. And yeah, we're going to fall. Sometimes we're going to go off the path. But you know that that staff is right there to pull us back up again, because that's what he wants to do. That's what he wants to do every moment of our lives. And so when we think of difficulties, yeah, it's not easy. It's not easy. Getting robbed is not easy. There's nothing exciting about that at all. Sometimes living here is not easy. But you know what? Again, I just think it's not easy anywheres. There's no place that is really better than another place in reality, because we're going to have problems no matter where we go. It's just going to be that way. And you think of eternity, and you think of Christ preparing a place for us, our good shepherd. We are offered security. We are offered eternity in heaven one day to be with him. And so you know what? We will keep plugging here on this earth until that day comes. But in the meanwhile, yes, do expect problems and trials. But you know what? Our good shepherd, our trainer, is right beside us, cheering us on all the way. And what a blessing to know that. What a blessing. Stay encouraged, you guys, and keep pressing on. Lord bless you.